Well, turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look briefly this morning at just a subject I think that is vital to all of us. And the subject, of course, is teaching the Word of God, passing on the truths. We just finished, of course, 1 and 2 Timothy, powerful books written by Paul, truths that we're to know and apply. But as we think this morning, we want to just look at some truths from 2 Timothy dealing with the teaching of the Word of God. Now, we know the plan and the goal for believers is that we make disciples. That's Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and that goal is making disciples, and there's a twofold aspect there. It's evangelism and training, leading people to Christ and then training them, equipping them. So we go out where people are, we lead them to Christ, we identify them with Jesus Christ, and then we train them. This morning, we want to take a look at the aspect of teaching God's Word. We realize that all of us are to take the things that we've been taught and teach others. And may we get excited about passing on the truths of the Word of God to other people. Well, let me ask you this. Who are the people that have had the biggest impact on your life? Who stands out in your life? People that you remember. For most of us, for a lot of us, it's our teachers. Those who took the time to be with us, especially day after day, teaching and helping us to learn. And then not only we think about just our school teachers, but people who also invested their lives in our lives. They help us to learn so many things. You might say the mentors and those people who helped us grow spiritually. And as we began to grow spiritually, we can think of those men and women who were there, who impacted us. And they taught us, and what we realize is we have to do the same thing. That's the plan. Realize one of the goals and one of the keys of the Christian life is that we are to teach the Word of God to other people. We're to pass on the truths of God's Word so other believers can grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and then they can do the same thing. Let's think about this. When you trust in Christ as Savior, you become a child of God. Galatians 3:26, we're children of God by faith. We're to serve Him and to live for Him. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, it says, "What do you not know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies." We're to glorify God. Well, what are we to do? And how does all this fit together? Well, I got two things this morning I want us to do, and we'll have to go fairly quickly because of time, but we're going to talk about our purpose, which is to know and apply and teach the Word of God. And then, how do we do it? How do we teach the Word? And I've got some things for you from 2 Timothy. I think it's pretty important, and we'll see it goes together. We begin by looking by thinking. I don't want you to have to turn there just because of time, but in Ezra chapter 7, there's a man who made a decision. He said that he was going to know the Word of God, that he was going to apply the Word of God, and that he was going to teach the Word of God. And that is a great pattern, and that's really the same thing for us. The goal is for us to study the Scripture so we can know it, then apply it in our lives, and then teach it to other people. We see that we're to do the same thing. Look at 2 Timothy. I've got it, I think, the next slide. 2 Timothy, where Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, and here's what he says. He says, "The things which you have heard from me." Now, he says, "Timothy, the things which you heard me teach in the presence of many witnesses, you entrust these to faithful people, faithful men, who'll be able to teach others also." This is the verse that stands out for us. We've talked about it as we look through 2 Timothy, of course. This is a verse that stands out. The things that we've been taught, we're to turn around and teach others. We've been taught either by others or by our own study of the Bible, digging it. We entrust this. We deposit this to other people. In fact, that's why I love this, the way it's written here. He says that the things that you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust. That means to deposit these things to faithful people. The idea is that we take what we know and we give to other people. We give to faithful men and women these truths, and then they carry on that process as well. And that's the plan. You teach someone else, they turn around and teach someone else, they turn around and teach someone else. That's how it works. The real plan of teaching is not just when we gather on a Sunday morning. Now, our goal is when we come together on a Sunday morning, we're going to teach the Scripture. But that's just one time. That's a big group. What we're talking about is you taking Scripture, you taking truths that you've been taught, and you invest into others and you teach them, and then they do the same thing. That process there, we are taught. In fact, as we are taught and we teach others, who will in turn teach others. Notice there's the four levels. Paul says, here's Paul, I teach Timothy, and then Timothy teaches somebody else, and then somebody else teaches someone else. And so there's four levels there. You've been taught, you teach someone else, they teach someone else. Notice 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. He says, "The Lord's bondservants must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach." That's the thing. Now, when we talk about able to teach, it doesn't mean that you have the gift of teaching. Able to teach means that you're communicating the truths to others. We are to be able to take what we know and pass it on to others, to clearly communicate these truths. And as I said a while ago, a lot of people say, well, I don't have the gift of teaching. How am I supposed to be a teacher? We're not saying that you're going to teach in a formal way and you're going to put together a classroom and teach that way. We're saying that you take what you know and you entrust this to other people. And it begins with the gospel and then on through as you do this. Listen to this. One of the marks of mature believers is their ability to teach and instruct others concerning the Word of God. You remember in Hebrews chapter 5 where the writer says this. He's writing to some believers who have gone away from the truth, moved away, and the writer says, by this time you ought to be teachers. He says, but somebody needs to teach you the basics all over again. One of the great truths is that we're to take what we know, turn around, not only apply it in our lives, but turn around and teach it to others who will be able to do that as well. And so bottom line is be taught, teach others. That's the key. Well, what kind of teachers are we supposed to be? We're supposed to teach the Bible. I mean, that's one of the things we're supposed to do. Take the truths that we've been taught. We come on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a CBI class or our own study or a small group or whatever. We got truths there. I'm learning things from the Bible. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to pass those on to other people. Well, how do we do it? Well, this morning, how are we to teach the Scripture? And I really got, I think, four key things that we want to see, four key aspects of being a teacher. And let's look at those. And we'll have to go fairly quickly, but here's the first one. And that is, be a sound teacher. And what that means is, teach the Word of God. Teach clearly the truths of the Scripture. Be sound in what you teach. There's a positive side of it. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Look what he says, 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, retain the standard of sound words which you've heard from me. In other words, he's saying, hold to the truths that I've taught you. Hold to the sound words. Hold to the Bible. You know, when we teach the Bible. Now, I don't mean to be very critical, but there's so many people that say, we're going to study Swindoll's book. I love Chuck Swindoll. He's the greatest. But he didn't write the Bible. His book's not inspired. It's a good book. Don't study Swindoll's book. Study the Bible. You may use his book as a reference on some things. But when you study, study Scripture. When you teach, teach the Word of God. He says, hold to the standard of sound teaching. Why? Because the Word of God is the truth. John 17:17, thy Word is truth. Hold to the Scripture. Now, that was the positive. Look at the negative. In chapter 2, verse 16, he says, don't hold to worldly things. 2:16 says, but avoid worldly and empty chatter. It leads to further ungodliness. He says, you need to stay away from this world stuff and stick with the Word of God. Hold to sound doctrine. So you need to be a sound teacher. You're going to teach the Word of God. That's what you've got to do. You've got to teach the Word of God. In 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 11, it says, whoever speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. Meaning he's saying, when you're going to teach, when you're going to speak, you speak the Word of God. See, sometimes we get an idea. We say, oh, I got an idea. I want to teach that. What idea? And then you got to go to the Scripture to see if you can find where that's talked about or whether you can bring that back. The truth is, go to the Scripture first. Don't get an idea. Go to the Scripture to get the truth and then teach that, because that's the key. I remember we used to have prayer breakfast, and I'd have guys teach the prayer breakfast for me and say, okay, you know, this month you get to teach prayer breakfast, the next month you get to do that. Sometimes they'd come in and they got this idea. I said, what's your idea? And they'd tell me, and I said, where's that found in the Scripture? Well, I'm trying to find some verses. I said, do it the opposite way. Go to the Scripture to get what you want to teach. Not come up with your idea and then try to find it in the Scripture. You go to the Scripture. So he says, be a sound teacher. You know why? Because 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, the Word of God is inspired and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that we can be mature and serve. The charge in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm trying to get a lot of this from 2 Timothy for us, but 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2 says, preach the Word. That's it, isn't it? The Word. So the first aspect is to be a sound teacher by teaching the Word of God. Preach the Word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Sound teachers are ready to teach the Word of God, the focus is on the Word. So the very first thing, if you're going to teach, be a sound teacher. Your plan is to teach. You're to communicate the truths. Take what you've been taught, pass it on to others. But what you've been taught, you take the truths of the Scripture and pass them on. Here's the second one. I love this one. Be a grace teacher. Not a great teacher, but a grace teacher, okay? Those who proclaim the grace of God. That's it. The message we teach, the message we proclaim to this world is a message of grace. It's the grace of God. He's called us over and over based on His grace, and we're to pass that grace on to others. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's what it is. It's grace. Stand in grace. So many people use the term grace, they don't even have a clue of what it means. John MacArthur, grace to you. John MacArthur's not grace. He's lordship. He's works. You may love him, and I love him as a teacher, but he says grace to you, but his message is not grace. It's works. So be careful. You want to be a grace teacher. Notice what he says. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you've heard from me, pass them on." We're to pass on the truths that we have been taught. And it's the grace aspect. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves." It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. The Romans 3 passage says that we're justified as a gift by His grace. You understand that every aspect of how God deals with us is grace. And if we're going to be teachers of God's Word, which is the sound teaching, we need to be teachers of the grace of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, he says, "He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." It's His grace in Jesus Christ. So powerful. Saved us. Called us, not according to works, but His grace in Jesus Christ. There are very few grace teachers. People say grace, but they mean something else. We always talk about front-loading and back-loading the gospel. People who front-load the gospel accord lordship salvation. They put works on the front end. You have to be willing to do this, this, and this in order to be saved. That's front-loading the gospel. There's back-loading the gospel. People say that you have to do good works in order to prove that you're saved or stay saved. That's backloading the gospel. That's not grace. Grace is that Jesus Christ died for you, paid for your sins, and rose again. If you will believe in Him as your Savior, He will give you at that exact moment eternal life, and eternal life is forever. It's the grace of God. It's not based on our works, our goodness, our righteousness. It's all based on Him. So, what do? Be a sound teacher. Be a grace teacher. There's a third thing, and that's be a knowledgeable teacher. You got to know the Word. If you're going to teach the Word, if you're going to teach the grace of God, you got to know it. Remember Ezra purposed in his heart that he would study the law of the Lord, that he would practice it, and then he would teach it to others. And before you can teach it to others, you're going to have to know the Word of God. And do you know the Bible? 2 Timothy 2:15, remember what it says? "Study to show yourself approved." Of course, New American Standard says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed." Notice, accurately handling the Word of truth. Rightly dividing. That says diving. Not rightly diving the Word, but it's dividing the Word. And we're supposed to divide the Word of God. We're supposed to handle accurately the truths of the Word of God. And that's what we do. We dig it. Thank you. Thank you. We must know how it fits together. Listen, this is my favorite part, and that is, do you know Scripture? Do you know how it fits together? You remember one Sunday I gave a test at the start? I listed about like 12 questions. They were just 12 basic questions. What was so amazing is I said, "What's this? What's this? What's this?" I had people coming up after and said, "I want the list of those questions. I want to make sure I know those things. I want to make sure I've got those." Think about this. Next slide. Do you know the facts? Do you know the books? Do you know the timeline? Do you know theology? Do you know church history? Think about it. Do you know facts? Do you know facts about the Bible, when and where? I mean, if I said Philippians, would you know, well, who wrote it and when and where and how does all fit together? Do you know the books? If I said, what about Genesis or Romans, how does that fit? Do you know the timeline? Can you trace the flow from Adam and Eve to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph to Moses to Joshua, to Samuel, to Saul, to David, to Solomon, to Elijah and Isaiah and those guys, and you get the captivity, and then they come back with Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther and the flow of the church, and John the Baptist pointing out Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. And do you know the flow of the Scripture? Do you know theology? If I said justification, sanctification, glorification, redemption, propitiation, the end times, rapture, tribulation, antichrist, second coming, creation, the fall. Do you know how all that fits together? If I talked about church history and I said, when was the Reformation and what was it all about and who were the leaders of the Reformation and why was it called Reformation and why are people called Protestants? What does all this mean? How does it fit? Dig the Word. Study the Word. 2 Peter 2:2 says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow by it. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Word of God. You got to be a knowledgeable teacher. So think about it. Be sound. Teach the Word. Be grace. Be knowledgeable. One more. We're going quickly. Be steadfast. Be a steadfast teacher. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Be steadfast means keeping on, unmovable, don't get off track, always abounding, overflowing in the work of the Lord, because what you do when you teach the Word, when you teach the truth, you teach the grace of God, when you know the Scripture, it's never in vain. That's why in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, I'm running the race so I can get the prize. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, Paul says, continue in the things you have learned and been convinced of. Continue in the things you have learned. Keep on keeping on. Continue doing what you're doing, teaching the Word. The bottom line is to do it. Philippians 4, 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. You got to keep on doing it. Be a steadfast teacher. Practice these things. Paul said, I have run the race. I finished the course. I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. You remember when he says kept the faith? That didn't mean I kept believing. It means I lived by the Scripture. That's the key. May we, as those who are set apart, pass on the truth. Being sound teachers, teaching the Word. Being grace teachers, giving our message of grace. Being knowledgeable, knowing the Word of God and how it fits. Being steadfast, continuing in the things that we have learned. Let me give you some applications. First of all, let's understand our commission, and that is to make disciples. That's evangelism and training. Understand that we individually and as a church have the exact same commission. That is to make disciples. Making disciples is twofold, evangelism and training, leading people to Christ, giving the grace message of salvation so they can trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, and then training them and equipping them, taking the truths and passing them on. This morning our emphasis has been on passing on the truths. And so number two, let's pass God's Word to others. And first, be a sound teacher. Make sure that what you teach is the Scripture, the Word of God, alive, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing far as the division of the soul and spirit, both of the joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. That's the Bible. It's perfect. It's profitable. It's alive. Never comes back void. Accomplishes the purposes. So be sound teachers. Be grace teachers. When you understand grace, you will never get over it. You won't change it. You won't confuse it. When you have grasped grace, you will never get over it. And you will be as clear as a bell, and you'll have people to understand that it's grace and grace alone, that it's faith in Christ, and you're saved by grace through faith, and you live the Christian life by the grace of God, and you're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, all based on the grace of God. Every aspect of your life is the grace of God. Be a grace teacher. Be a knowledgeable teacher. Got to know it. Study it. Start digging it. Be able to put it together. so that you'll know Proverbs and Ezra and Nehemiah and Kings and Habakkuk and Mark and Matthew and 2 Timothy and Titus and all these books. You'll have an idea of how they fit and the timeline and what propitiation means and what expiation means and what justification means and what redemption means and how what happened at the fall and how all these things fit together and all of these different aspects. Be a knowledgeable teacher of the Word of God. And last but not least, be steadfast, unbounding, always abounding in the work of the Lord, unmovable. May we be encouraged by this passage, seeking to be taught and then teach others so that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we can pass those truths on to others as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for these great truths that we see from 2 Timothy and just the idea of teaching the Word. Lord, and we know our great commission, that is to make disciples, and that's evangelism and training. And so, Lord, as we go out into this world, we go out with the message of Jesus Christ, the salvation message. Lord, we see people trusting Christ as Savior, and then we help them grow. We help them train. And so, Lord, we want to pass on your Word to other people. We want to take what we've been taught and entrust it to faithful. And so, Lord, we want to be sound teachers because we teach the Word. We want to be grace teachers because we understand how you deal with us all in grace, salvation, Christian life, future. Lord, we want to be knowledgeable teachers that we dig the Word, that we know it, that we rightly divide it. And finally, Lord, we want to be steadfast teachers, that we want to keep on going. We want to continue in the things that we have learned. May we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ, being used for your glory, Lord. Help us to be men and women who fulfill the Great Commission, leading people to Christ, and then training them and equipping them as we are sound teachers, grace teachers, knowledgeable teachers, and steadfast teachers. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.